Irreverent. Entertaining. Cool. You're listening to the only radio that matters. BBS Talk Radio. You're listening to On the Couch with Dr. Michelle.
Everybody, it's Friday! Woohoo! Can you tell I'm excited? This is Dr. Michelle. That's me, your friendly psychologist, and welcome to On the Couch. I just want you to sit back, relax, put your feet up, take your shoes off, brush your shoulders off. You know what I'm talking about. Have a great morning with me, evening, or whatever time zone you're listening to BBS Talk Radio on. Let me give you, by the way, our phone number if you want to call in live. That number is 818-602-4498. 818-602-4498. Got a little reverb going on in the headphones here. It's kind of nice, little echo thing. I like that. If it's really too weird, give me a call. I like it. Sounds good. We're talking about everything psychological today. And, of course, my special guest slash co-host is California Dreamin's Sam Morning Man. He's going to be with me on the show this morning, which will be really awesome. And we were teasing him, me and Manu were teasing him a little earlier about how I'm going to psych him out. He's going to be my patient this morning. We're going to have a 50-minute session with Sam. We'll help him with all of his issues and problems. He says, I'm not putting out my stuff there on the air, of course. What you see is what you get with Sam. That's what I like. So I won't embarrass him. I promise I won't do that. But just want to warm you up a little bit, as it were. Speaking about warm, man, if you're in Southern California, baby, it's going to be in the 80s today. We are so darn lucky here. And anyway, I gave you the phone number, 818-602-4498, Dr. Michelle right here. You, by the way, can find me on my website, which is all about positive life changes. We're making those life changes. We're thinking positive. It's very cognitive, behavioral. We think thoughts that are rational. And then we make bodily or take actions or say things that go in the direction that we want to focus upon. Cognitive behavioral with a little bit of psychodynamic. We go into the past as well. Humanistic, little existential. It's all about positive life changes. And my handle is Detox the Drama from Your Life. That's what we try to do. And, of course, that's the name of my upcoming book. Be happy. Detox the drama from your life. Now, website, drmichelletherapy.com, Dr. Michelle with two L's, therapy.com. That's where you can find me. If you have any questions or comments, of course, you have my link to my email address, docmichelle@aol.com. Chat with me. Let me know what you're thinking, what you're doing, what's going on. I'd love to hear from you. Now, today we're talking about so many things. You know, Sam and I, we just kind of, we go with it when we're talking. And I'm usually a little more formatted because that's what most psychologists are. We're a little, psychologists rather, we're a little more formatted. Some people call us OCD, a little more anal. Well, we have to be organized in our thinking because we have to specifically have treatment modes for folks. So we have to go down the line of how we're going to work with people. We're going to do these different modalities. And then we're going to help people in certain ways. And that's how we think. But if you take what's called an MMPI, a Minnesota Multiple Inventory test, right? Most of us have obsessive compulsive qualities. I'm just putting it out there. That's the way it is. Got to be organized. You fear things. You got to. Okay. So we're going to be talking about different personality things. Coming up also, I'm going to give Sam some personality tests. And we're going to truly reveal what his thoughts are. These are sort of like subliminal tests, subconscious tests, kind of like a Rorschach test, only without the visual because, of course, this is radio. So I'm going to ask him questions, and he gets to fill in the blanks, and then I get to tell him what that means about his personality, which will be kind of fun. Talking about the news, one of the most popular discussions that, of course, got people going this week was, of course, about Barack Obama's middle finger. Scratching his cheek while he was talking about Hillary after the debate they had in Pennsylvania. What did he say? He spoke of a sort of a gotcha fest. And he said that, you know, Hillary was in her element. I'm just quoting him now. And then the whole thing is he was talking and he said, last night I think we set a new record because it took us 45 minutes before we even started talking about a single issue that matters to the American people. Now, he was talking about the debate, of course. And he said, quote, I don't blame Washington for this because it's just how Washington is. And then he said, they like stirring up controversy. They like playing gotcha games. And I would say Senator Clinton was in her element. And that's the part of the videotape where viewers needed to pay some attention to the hand that Obama raised to his face. He, scratched his face with the middle finger. A lot of people were saying, oh, my God, he's flipping off on purpose. And that was funny because some of the audience laughed and they thought it was a purposeful deal. And yeah, it was kind of, actually, I thought it was kind of funny. Thought it was kind of cool. I mean, he obviously brushed his shoulders off. Do, 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 do. And he did that. That was an obvious thing. I don't know if he did it on purpose or not. I don't know if it was intentional. If it was, cool. It was kind of funny. If it wasn't, who cares? It just was. So coming up also, we're going to be talking about some of the body language things that we do. One of the best books I've ever picked up on body language is called Body Talk. And it contains over 600 pictures. So you don't have to read. You get to look. That's my kind of book. It's pictures of common gestures, not just from around the block. Brush your shoulders off. But from around the world. So it's really cool. So you get all these international signals. And it's really funny to see some of these, you know, things that we do every day that someone halfway across the world does, and that means something really bad and whatever way things are interpreted. But we've been, you know, it's always been there. Let me just say this about that. When we're talking about subliminal things, subconscious things, and that, you know, a lot of people, what they're saying is, did Obama purposefully scratch his middle finger when he was talking about Hillary? Maybe not. But they didn't bring out the thing about subconscious, unconscious behaviors that we do. And we all do them. That's part two of communications. We're always moving our hands or arms or looking in a certain direction with our eyes and, you know, whatever. So, they didn't bring up the thing about subconscious. Right? He's just doing something. He's just, man, scratching. Let me just tell you this also. The neck scratch, the cheek scratch, the head scratch. In many body movement studies, they're telling you when people do that, that they're uncertain about something. Got to think about this. Right? Or more information must be given. How many times have you scratched your head? I mean, you know the old saying, boy, I was scratching my head on that one. Or when somebody's scratching their cheek or their neck or their head, it means that you have to provide information that will give credence to what you've already said. They're saying, huh? Let me think about this. Huh? You know, so that's what that's all about a lot of times when people are scratching. So all these things that people are making such a big deal out of, you know, scratching his cheek with his middle finger, who cares? Come on now. That's ridiculous because everybody's doing in this particular political race. They're coming back and forth. It's competition. It's gestures. These guys have studied body movements. They know what they're talking about. They know what they're doing. So, you know, they're experts. And who cares if he did? I think it was kind of funny. I love it. But, there are all ways of interpreting body movements. And if he really wants to get out of it, you know, the cop-out is, well, it was just, you know, something I did. I was just scratching and thinking, So there you go. That's my take on that. And that's all I'm going to say about that. But we have Sam in the studio. Hey, how you doing, darling?
Hey, thank you for having me.
It's so nice to have you. Is your level good enough for you there?
Yeah, it's perfect.
Looks good on the board here.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for hanging out with me this morning.
My pleasure. I always wanted to sit and talk to you for a little bit.
Cool.
That's nice.
It is nice. Well, yeah. I listen to you in mono before I leave the house.
Oh, yeah?
And always have fun. I love the stuff you guys talk about.
Thank you.
And your style, you guys just go with the flow.
Yeah.
You just have a good rhythm together.
Not a lot of planning because we're doing a daily show and there's not really enough time. And so we kept it an open format, you know.
That's great.
And we say just about anything.
Well, what's so cool is you guys are very intelligent. You keep completely aware of what's going on in the news, and you have your opinions about it.
Yeah.
And then you have personal stories to relate to, too, which I really like.
Oh, especially Manu, man. She's got
she does.
Stories.
That girl has great stories.
Yeah, from here to eternity.
Exactly. So, anyway, I don't know. Yeah, I was just talking about body language, and, you know, I was talking about some really, you know, we were talking about Barack scratching his cheek with his middle finger when he was talking about Hillary and responding to their debate. And people were saying, oh, he's flipping her off, and, you know.
Is that what people were saying?
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah,
people always like to look into things. You know?
Exactly. They like to look into things, and of course I do.
Yeah.
And, you know, people who know me and people who are around me always say, you know, analysis, over-analysis causes paralysis. Don't go there, girl. You're looking too deep. Something that my 15-year-old son always says to me.
Yeah.
Mom,
but you gotta go
you're overanalyzing.
You sometimes have to go deep.
Yeah,
you know?
You do.
Yeah.
Well, it's in Brett when you're studying this all, you know, for 10 years.
Right.
And you're always you're always taught to kind of look for the other or look for the body language or look for the eye or look for the, you know, whatever. And what people say, you're always taught to kind of,
right.
What does that really mean? Especially if you've studied psychoanalytic or psychodynamic and it just kind of, it's the way you are sometimes when you do go into the psychology or psychiatric field.
Right.
And that's, you know. It's not really pleasant to certain family members and friends.
Yeah. No, so it's not, you know.
It's really a pain in the ass sometimes to people. It's
but I mean, sometimes you just get to a point in your life, I think, where you realize I need to take care of myself. You know?
Exactly.
And you seek it out. You know, you go and get self-help books and talk to people. But I think, I definitely think when you have difficulties, you should seek out some therapy.
I think that's
because
neat.
I think we all could use a little adjustment in how we think.
Right.
You know, because we still, I think, come to the adult life with the way we thought as young kids, you know.
Exactly.
And emotionally, especially. So, you know, you come in and you're a little kid inside sometimes, you know. So
exactly. I think we carry so much of that old baggage. All the messages we get when we're young from our parents, spoken or unspoken.
Yeah.
And our friends and our schoolmates and our girlfriends and our boyfriends and all the supposed traumas that we've had and the messages that we get of, I'm not worthy enough or I'm not good looking enough or what I say doesn't matter. That's a biggie for a lot of, you know, I guess like baby boomers and Gen X folks, because I think our parents didn't really go real deep about touchy-feely feelings, most of them.
They just
went forward.
Yeah, it was a different generation,
totally.
You know, and they weren't aware of all this
exactly.
stuff.
Exactly.
You know, yeah.
So, you know, so you have to kind of look at, you know, what you've carried with you all these years.
Yeah.
What you've brought along, the kind of junk that you
carry.
And
many people are afraid to dig. To dig deep into what's going on, you know. It's not easy.
Yeah, it's not easy. It's not easy. It's scary.
Yeah.
See,
it makes you go places you never thought
well, that's the thing.
Existed.
One of my disclaimers, you know, when I have people come into my office on my sheets, is that therapy can be uncomfortable, and you may feel feelings that you've never felt before.
Yeah.
And you may not like it.
No.
So you may have the tendency to want to run and never come back, and that's okay, too.
Does that happen sometimes in your practice?
Yes.
People
There's
just
definitely
bail out,
people who bail out. It just gets a little too close to stuff that they're not ready for yet. But as a psychologist, you have to kind of judge and know where not to push the envelope. So you have to get with that I think comes from experience. It's just, you know, you kind of getting to know that person and knowing just how much they want to look at and explore. And they'll give you signals and they'll say things to you that are usually defense mechanisms or they'll defocus the conversation, you know, onto something else.
Yeah, yeah, because they can't go there. Yeah,
exactly.
Because I look at it as like, you know, emotional wounds are just like physical wounds. You know, you get close and you start picking at it and stuff. It hurts.
That's really
true. You feel the pain.
You really do. That's a beautiful, I like that analogy. They have another thing about unpeeling the onion. I'm just looking through my test
here. Yes, unpeeling the onion.
Yeah,
the,
you know, you're getting down to, you know, you have to peel the layers of the onion and the tears come because as the closer you get to those onion, you know, the core, you know, it's difficult and it's more painful. But, no, it's really true. I do. And something that I still see is that men have a little more difficulty hanging or coming to therapy than women.
Yeah.
It's usually a woman who calls me if they want to do couple therapy.
Yeah, yeah. Or a woman would even seek out the therapist for her husband or something.
Right.
You know?
That's usually the case. No, that's really the case.
Yeah.
And,
so what do you think men still hold stigma towards therapy and stuff?
Of course I do. Yes, I really do. I think that there's still a little bit of gee, I'm not maybe man enough to handle this myself. Yeah. You know, that's still going on in society.
Yeah. Well, they've never really addressed their emotions or anything. You know, right. They just kind of go through life and,
right.
You know, not dig too much and that sort of thing. But it always catches up with you.
Yeah.
You know, because you have to deal with different things in life, you know.
That's really true.
And I think what happens is that if you're not equipped for it, then all your emotional problems are going to come out.
It's true.
And spiritually, I also think that, we have our lesson to learn, and it's going to keep coming up and up until you finally learn it. And
yes.
So you can move on to the next. But if you don't do anything about it, it'll keep rearing its head every time. You know,
I agree.
Until you do something. So, yeah, I realized this, 15 years ago or so, that my thinking may not be 100%, mm-hmm, you know,
mm-hmm.
Not even close.
What do you mean by that? Here we go, folks.
Meaning that, faulty yeah. thinking, you know, stinking
yeah, yeah, yeah.
thinking.
Stinking thinking.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Yeah, that sort of thing
yeah.
where, even to this day, you know,
yeah.
sometimes you take things the wrong way when people talk to you or
exactly.
when they do things to you
well,
and
sure.
so forth, you know, and you wonder, why do I react to it this way and that way?
Right.
You know, so... Yeah, I think it's an ongoing thing, you know, but I think everybody can benefit from therapy.
That's neat. I agree completely. And, you know, they say the reason why we react to things like that, somebody could come in the room right now. Let's say Manu could come in and say something like, oh, I'm going to be late.
Uh-huh.
And I would interpret that like, oh, girl, you better get going. You better. And mm-hmm. you might interpret it, whatever, like,
yeah.
God, she's complaining again.
Yeah.
But it's all where we are coming from in our head.
Exactly.
And, you know, that's exactly yeah. how we interpret stuff out there. And if we're carrying the heavy garbage mm-hmm. and those messages are deep within us, and that's something else, too, about the neurotransmitters, neurons.
Mm-hmm.
The more we think on a repetitive basis, certain thoughts, we're really reaffirming and building, and we are, they're there. Boy,
yeah.
those negative thoughts are so firmly enmeshed in our brain.
Yeah,
and we
it's
just
part
go
of
there
us.
Like
yeah.
a knee jerk.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
So once you start changing those, and it's hard to do through
yeah.
things like, what am I thinking? Okay, that the negative isn't going to happen.
Right.
This is the good stuff's going to happen. Why am I going to, oh, yeah, just my luck, I'll probably not do the, I'll probably not get the job.
Yeah.
Just my luck, this is going to fail.
Yeah.
Just my. If you go, wait a minute.
Yeah,
wait
you see,
a
that's
minute.
Terrible thinking.
It's yeah. it's tough
but
to do.
But we're all guilty of it. I mean,
we
you know.
We all are.
Yeah, yeah.
We all are. But and it's tough to change, though. And you know, you give folks tools like affirmations, not the corny ones like, I am a happy person this morning and the world is wonderful. Not, you know, the kumbaya stuff's great, and if
yeah.
that works, but usually it's through stuff that really would work for you personally, like, yeah, I know I would say this negative thing, but the truth is, this just might work. This
mm.
business just might work. The truth is, I very well could get this job. And if I don't, that means that I'm not right for it. Something else will come.
Right.
So it's all, you know, kind of changing your thinking to a more rational. That's
yeah.
the whole Ellis thing.
That's
cognitive
the thing,
therapy.
You know. I mean, I used to be caught up in, you know, at a point where I said, I'm not starting any more businesses anymore.
Right,
you know,
right.
I don't have it in me. I wasn't cut out for it, blah, blah, blah. You know, and after a while, you know, if you take a failure after failure,
sure.
then it can really get stressful.
Exactly.
You know, so, but somehow inside I said, you know, the, like, you know who says this? Tony Robbins
yes.
says this. He says, the past does not equal the future.
Exactly.
You know, so you don't need to look back to shape your future based on what you've done. You know?
Exactly.
And I realize that in life, people have different journeys. So perhaps in your script, it's not about to happen. Your success or whatever is not going to happen till you're 50 or something.
Right.
You know? But if you
right.
give up before that, then, you know, you're going to miss that opportunity.
I agree.
I think, you know.
All these societal expectations of, you know, well, by the time I'm 35, I'm going to be making X amount of money. I'm going to have 2.3 children.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be living here, and I'm supposed to. No, everyone's evolution is personal. Everyone's lessons, everyone's
yeah.
life partners could come when they're 50. Or
yeah.
60, or I have clients who've had really horrible relationships
mm.
and have been single for years because they're soured and they're fearful. And it just takes kind of getting out, just take the little steps to get out, start peeking out,
mm-hmm.
start putting it out there, start socializing, start getting a taste of life again. You got to breathe life back into, you know, so you can go beyond some of that old negative stuff and those old blocks and those old fears. And you did it.
Yeah.
How did you do it? What was it within you that made you say,
I don't know. It's just that with me, I guess that spirit never died, you know. So I think when you find a passion or something, everything else pretty much, you know, you can push away, you know, because it doesn't matter what happened in the past, you know. I figured that this is what I need to do. This is what I want to do. And I know I can do it. And I visualized it.
Exactly.
You know, and it turned out just the way I wanted, you know.
Exactly.
So, and people have told me, you know, you know, don't give up in this. You have a lot to offer and all this, but it's all inside of you. And sometimes we wonder why very smart people do stupid things.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because I don't think it has much to do with the logic of things of, you know, because when we go into these emotions.
Yes.
They blind us to everything else, you know. And emotions are a good thing. They're here to protect us, you know.
They sure are.
But the way I look at it is the walls we build around us as kids to protect us become our prison walls when we become adults.
I agree.
So we've got to break those walls down.
Right.
And unfortunately, a lot of people are not aware of what's going on with them. So we fall into that comfort zone and it's very, very difficult to get out of it, you know.
I agree with you.
You know, you have cases of abused women and things like this that don't leave because they don't know any better.
Right.
They can't see what the alternative is because, you know, as bad as it is, I'm comfortable here. This is the familiar.
Right, exactly. You know? I've had a lot of clients who have, you know, been in abusive relationships with their partners, and if you look back at their history, they were abused.
Yeah.
Because that's what they know. It's, to say something that may sound really odd, it's comfortable.
Yeah.
Because that's what they know, and
it
they
is.
Don't know how to get out. And until they're given the tools of, you know, looking back and saying, you didn't deserve this, it wasn't, and you know, it sounds really corny and all that, but I mean, truly, it was, you know, the old message, it wasn't your fault.
Yeah.
You had nothing to do with, you know, whoever raised you's issues.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't know how to work out their stuff, so they put it on you.
Yeah.
They projected their own negativity and their own anger and whatever on you.
Yeah.
And here we are.
And you got to work it out
when
you grow up, you know. I mean, you can't constantly hold on to that and be in a victim mode, you know.
It's really true, Sam.
So, yeah, I mean, I've obviously been to therapy quite a bit. That's why I've thought about all these things, you know, and developed sort of like views on how things are and how they should be. And I'm still aware of my pitfalls and things like that, you know.
Yes.
I mean, it's sometimes I react to things and not the way that I want to.
Right.
But it's just because it's so automatic, you know.
Yes,
and that. So you have to short-circuit those automatic responses and relearn things. And that is very difficult for adults, you know.
I am so impressed with you getting, you know, kind of looking and going inside and looking at stuff that you've done. And
but you have to. You have to, because I was at one point in my life, I was very depressed.
You know?
So then you have to start seeking out answers, you know.
You
want to know why am I feeling this way? What is it, you know, and stuff. And you realize that your childhood is catching up with you at a certain point, you know. And that's why when people don't want to delve into their childhood, I think is a big mistake, because this is where we start, you know. In many ways, we're still kids inside.
Sure. I agree. It's important to look back and see what was put upon you, get through it, have a supportive listener to hear some of the stuff that you had to deal with.
Yeah, who's objective also.
Objective.
You know, who doesn't judge you.
Exactly. Yeah. And say, well, you do understand where they were coming from and why they put this on you. If you can get a perspective to them and through conscious realization of, oh my gosh, and you don't have to hang on to those old messages, and you can say, wow. This is not about me. I am an independent person who deserves a whole new reality, a whole new life, to not be, you know, enveloped or imprisoned in this old, icky, you know, fog of negativity that I've bought into for so many. Wait a minute.
Yeah.
It's like a breath of fresh air. So it's good to look back. I totally agree. It's good to process and have a supportive listener and all that. And then once you've done that, step two is starting to change those messages that were given to you and really internalize them and say, this is what I choose now.
Yeah.
Right now.
Because we don't tend to question why we think in a certain way, you know. But I find till today, I mean, I'm 47 years old and still – Sometimes I have opinions about things that I don't know where they came from, and then I realize they came from my parents.
Wow.
I never stopped and really questioned,
right,
why am I thinking this way? Why is my view in this particular way?
Yes.
And I realized, well, my dad felt that way, and I just sort of inherited it.
Isn't that interesting? And I think as we do, I do the same thing. You know, I look back and I hear myself thinking things, you know, like, I don't hear voices.
Yeah.
That's the olden days. But I do have a little voice in my head. But I hear old messages that say, you're not this enough, you're not good enough, or you can't. This, all knowing my luck, this probably isn't going to happen. Where did I get that from? Oh, my God, I know where I got that from.
Yeah.
You know, my dad used to say some of those things, and it was ingrained because, you know, it was, and I'm not to put him down, you know, but I'm saying that we do. Exactly. We learn a lot of those messages. And we take it on. So, and what we do is we form throughout our years defense mechanisms in order to cope. And they're coping mechanisms. They're safety nets. You know, denial.
Yeah.
The longest river. It's denial, folks. No, that's what we do is we deny. And that's a very cool thing. But when we push it back so much, we deny, start seeping out into what we call neuroses. Well, we used to call that. But, anyway, so, we have denial. Of course, repression is the most primitive form. We regress. Regression is back into our childhood. And we, you know, sublimation is probably the healthiest defense mechanism, where if we're frustrated or we need to fulfill certain things, let's say we're trying to quit, something.
Smoking.
Smoking. All right. There you go. Sublimation would be defocusing on that and putting our energies into something else. Sublimating all of our energies into my workout program.
Yeah.
So it's a healthier alternative. But there's defense mechanisms are all there to help us and protect our psyches throughout our lives.
Right.
The problem is they're kind of pushing stuff down. And, you know, when we get older, we have these icky feelings. We get anxious. We start having panic attacks.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, I can't breathe. What the? I feel like I'm going to die. Mm. You know, what's going on? Or I really all of a sudden, wow, every day it's depression.
Yeah.
Or you're moody. Mm-hmm. You're cranky, or you cry at the drop of a hat.
Right.
You know, so you start looking at all these things, and those are the cues that something's really going wrong, especially when your body, when it goes to the body, then you know your body's saying, something's wrong, got to take care of yourself.
Yeah.
And I tell my patients who have panic disorder or generalized anxiety, we're doing well this morning.
Yeah.
Generalizing. Fearful thoughts, negative thought, you know, all of the physiological palpitations, high blood pressure, shortness of breath. Sometimes there's stomach pain, shaky body, fainting, dizziness, you know, all those things. It's about your body saying, can't deal with it. I'm checking out. I'm going to check out because the mind, it's moving over to the body now. It's affecting both. And they are one and the same to me. You got to take care of your body, of course.
Obviously.
And go for medical exams. I'm all for getting labs and taking tests before we diagnose any kind of a mental issue.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Because it could be physical.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
One of the most common things is like people who are very anxious or have palpitations or some of those symptoms have hyperthyroidism. Their metabolism's off the heezy, and they're going they're going really fast, and they can't distinguish. So just get on some kind of medication.
Yeah.
Or if they're depressed, hypothyroidism is when you're low, your metabolism's slow, you're lethargic, and you're kind of, you take a little Synthroid, bada boom, couple of days, and you're feeling better.
Yeah.
You know, it's back in, same thing. You know.
Yeah.
But I do believe in medication for like depression and anxiety because they do work.
Because you can't really work with someone who's not functioning.
Right.
I mean, if they're very depressed and they're not medically treated,
how
are you going to work with them? They're not going to accept anything.
Exactly.
You know, it's like sitting there with dark glasses and not being able to see the light, you know. So, so sometimes I know that a therapist will say, well, I can't work with you until you go on medication first.
Yeah, I do that a lot, especially with a lot of psychiatric people who have, you know, severe disorders.
Yes.
That's right. You nailed it. I mean, it's very difficult.
And many people don't realize that it could be a physical thing, you know, and feel depressed all your life and you don't know why. You know, and often you don't question it because it's just part of your life. You figure that's the way that life is.
Right.
You know, but 'cause you don't realize there's another way to be.
Yep.
You know, so the people that go undiagnosed are the least fortunate ones when that goes.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. And especially if you're into an environment with your family, or you've picked a mate who's really similar, which we do. We marry our moms or our dads.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess we do.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or we try to.
And, you know, because, again, it's comfortable. We're kind of continuing on with what we know and
right.
and the reactions that we have and what's right. Anyway. So when, you know, when we do that and we're in a depressed environment, we don't know any different. We get out there in society and we go out to work. People seem a little happier.
Yeah.
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
Is this, you know, you kind of get a taste of, you start going to school, you get a taste of other people who are acting differently and you start noticing these things. But yeah so I think, you know, I it's just like substance abuse. Many times when somebody has an alcoholism or a drug addiction or something, you really want them to get treated, start getting detoxed.
Mm. Yeah.
On that before you can really start
working. Yeah, you can't do anything with them.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, but, you know, I love talking with you because you're You're so hip and well-informed about all this stuff. I don't need to tell you.
Well, you know, when you go through this shit, you learn a lot.
You do. Yeah. You know, you do. Well, you did. A lot of people go through shit and they don't learn a lot.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. They continue beating their head. Let's repeat this again. Husband number two. Husband number three. You know?
Yeah,
what
you
door
keep repeating the same.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it
keep
just,
repeating,
you know,
the same stuff. Yeah.
You know, and hopefully people will say, this doesn't feel right. And then they'll decide to make a change because it doesn't feel right. And and you know, you're right. There's a lot of self-help books out there and tapes and things that people can get. You don't have to go to therapy.
Yeah.
You don't have to. And I'm not a pill pusher either. I'm not saying, oh, you're depressed. You got to go on Paxil or Prozac or no.
Yeah.
No, I'm not saying that.
But you know, I think therapy is more, like I said, again, it has to do with the thinking a lot. Whereas, you know, depression is usually a result, you know, if it's not a chemical thing
right.
in your head, then it's usually because of your way of thinking, you
right.
know. So,
right.
That's why I think, like, for example, when I was, 17, mm-hmm. I discovered Wayne Dyer's book, Your Erroneous Zones. Oh, erroneous.
Erroneous.
Not erogenous.
No.
Yeah.
Damn it.
I used to complete.
That was Freudian.
Yeah, I know. Well,
yeah,
a lot
baby.
Of people confuse those
no,
words. But I knew I had it right the first time.
I liked it. Yeah.
So, Your Erroneous Zones, and that book transformed my life because it was talking about why, it was telling you why we do things and then, you know, how to get rid of them. So, like, guilt,
right.
you know, and seeking approval from people. You know, living in the past, things like that, you know,
right.
that really helped me with that. And I think that's why
book.
I think if someone, and there's a lot of books like that, you know, but so it's not so much the specific book, but I think that definitely if you're not happy, seek out a self-help book or two and see how much changes that can make in your life, you know,
because
you get, it's also like going to a therapist. You're listening to someone else, who does not necessarily know you, but they know, probably how you think and how you think erroneously. So,
exactly.
Yeah. So, I mean, that helped me a lot. I've read a lot of self-help books in my time.
Right.
Yeah.
That is so neat that you started out so young, too.
Yeah, I did. Well, I didn't have a choice because I started feeling down at that age. You know,
well, you did have a choice, and you chose to get the help.
I guess,
and I think that's cool. Yeah. Dyer has a lot of really cool books. His latest, what is it, Change Your Thoughts, Change Your Life, or Change...
Yeah, yeah. That's he's gotten a little too spiritual for me, though.
He's going there.
Yeah. He likes it. I guess he finds that. And you do psychology and spirituality. I mean, you did a show the other day.
Right.
So I think they go hand in hand, definitely, you know. But
but
I still, I guess, kind of look for the stuff he wrote in the beginning.
Exactly.
And he doesn't write that anymore, you know.
No,
he writes different
things. He doesn't.
Things, so.
He does. And I think there's a changing market, too.
Yeah.
It's, you know, they've got to appeal to the readers and the marketplace and, you know, what's hip now and what's going on.
Yeah, and spirituality is hip
now.
Yeah.
And when I work with folks and do spirituality, I'm not talking about religion. I'm talking about.
Right.
And when we say change your thoughts, because it's a basic rational belief, you know, when you. What you think and what you put out there and the way you act to folks and all that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I believe in karma.
My
son always says, "Ooh, I lied and I did this. Am I going to have karma?" You know, I said, "I don't know. Are you a Buddhist?" I don't know. You think that's if you think you are, that's a good guilt thing.
Yeah.
By the way, karma is really a good guilt thing.
Well, because that comes from religion.
That's
Yeah.
Exactly.
Religion is all about guilt.
Otherwise,
how would they get you to do stupid things that you never do in your life?
That's right. A lot of times,
by feeling guilty, you'll be punished.
There you go.
Yeah.
But what I think is, and I try to, you know, in my therapy with on the spirit, so-called spiritual side, is what you think, what you put out to others, you're basically going to get back, because it's what you're putting out, what you mirror out to the universe is what you're attracting.
Yeah.
And that's what you're going to attract to yourself. So if you change your behaviors and change your thinking on a more whatever level, whether it's negative or positive, that's exactly who you are attracting. And that's because I believe in quantum physics.
All right.
I do believe that stuff.
There you go.
And I think, you know, it's all, it really is. It's all about, you know, what the bleep, what you think is what you're going to get.
Yeah.
That whole movie and changing your thoughts and changing your life and all that stuff. So, I got some personality tests
that
I picked up. This is
you
so exciting.
It and I can't wait.
I just want to say that this is a fun test site, but these are supposed real personality tests.
Okay, so
given
by psychologists. So it's not like written in stone or anything.
Nah, not really. But these are just generalizations, and they're just kind of fun. And
Fun.
Do is they get you thinking about what you think about. Maybe, why did I choose that, and why did I do that? So these aren't necessary. I mean, there are some real statistically. Perfect tests, not perfect, nothing's perfect, but they're empirically proven to be really good tests. Now this is coming from personalityquiz.net, okay? Mm-hmm. And it's just a fun, kind of website if you want to go on and take some personality tests. And I was trying to pick some of the best ones for you.
Okay.
Let's
see which one you pick.
All right. There's a couple of them. And, should we do the hero test? That's kind of fun first.
Hero test.
It says, which superhero ability would you choose? Now, everybody out there listening, I want you to think about which ability you would choose as I read these selections to Sam.
Yeah.
And I want you all to think about this carefully.
Yeah, well, that's easy all for me.
Okay.
Superman.
Okay.
Yeah, I'd love to be able to fly. I have a lot of dreams of flying, yes.
Right.
Yes.
Do you really?
Yes. And I've taken flying courses and stuff like that.
Aviation?
I don't fly now. Yeah, aviation.
God, that's so cool.
Yeah.
So you have a lot of flying dreams?
Yeah.
Oh, I want to talk about this.
In fact, not much anymore, but I used to, whereas I would dream, I'm just like waving my hands and I'm taking off. You know,
that's great.
Where everybody else couldn't, you know,
right.
And I just felt like, wow, you know.
So you'd be on the ground and you'd just kind of elevate and you'd just be soaring
over. I would think about it and I'd be able to lift off the floor, yeah.
That's so indicative of your personality.
Really?
Oh, my gosh. Look at you. You're always, you're up there. You're achieving. Mm. You're rising
is that what
to
that
higher.
Means?
Well, it says here you like to see the big picture of life if you're into flying and how things fit together. Little details sometimes annoy you. Mm. You enjoy being free. You enjoy taking risks.
Mm-hmm.
It says you'd make a good pilot or astronaut here.
Really?
This is a little career clue.
Yeah, it's like, duh.
Consider a job that will let you affect policies. Maybe in government, communication, speaking out, expressing freely.
Right.
And that's what you're doing.
That's what I'm doing now.
Yeah,
yes.
That's exactly what you're doing.
Finally.
Exactly. Well, you know, hey, it's never too late. That's what I say.
No, it's not.
So you're the fly guy. And that also, you know, you're willing to take risks, like I said. You're open. You know, that is also a thing about self-confidence.
Mm.
The fact that you can get off the ground and say, hey, I'm going to fly over all this crap.
Mm.
I'm just taking off. I'm getting over this stuff.
Yeah.
You have confidence in your abilities to do it.
Yeah.
There's no thought, right? You're not struggling when you're flapping your arms.
Except it's not always been the case. That's why I was talking to you earlier about, you know, gaining that confidence over the years and stuff, you know.
Exactly.
So, but on that note also, I like Superman's X-ray vision.
Oh, good. Let's talk about that.
Then I could look through clothes, through ladies' clothes and stuff. That would be awesome.
That's cool. See, I like that. Now, let's psychoanalyze that. What does that tell me? Let's see. You're a dirty guy.
Exactly.
I'm a
friggin'
boy.
Pervert.
Wait. Let me look in my... It says friggin' pervert right
there
here in the manual
see,
of psychoanalytic
I knew it's the medical term for
Some of the other things, let's see. The ability to... time travel. X-ray vision. What does it really say clinically about X-ray vision? Mm. You like to see through problems. See, we're going to put this on a positive spin.
Okay.
We're not going to make you a dirty old man.
Okay, thank you.
You like to see through dirty young man. You like to see through problems and go to the heart of an issue. How's that? You enjoy finding problems that other people can't even see. You also enjoy solving problems. Mm. So if you like X-ray vision.
Yeah, that's what it's about. Somehow, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I don't think it's about getting to the point.
Okay, here's what I have to say about... Thank you. All right, that's that.
That's the whole test?
No, we had other ones. But you right off the bat chose your... We got other tests that I want to get into. But you chose your ability to fly, which I analyzed. Yeah. The other choices were time travel, ability, invisibility.
Yeah, that'd be cool to be invisible for a
while. Well, it would be cool, but I don't think they have a real positive thing here. It says you tend to be shy.
Yeah.
You like to know everything that's going on around you. You're not a real outwards person. Mm. You're kind of inwards, little kind of like peeping Tom, maybe. Yeah. No, I just made that one up. So you're a shy, a keen observer.
Yeah.
What else did we have? We had the power to change forms. Mm. Right? The ability to read minds.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of cool. That's kind of a control thing, I think.
Oh, yeah.
The ability to
see... Yeah, I don't know that I'd want to know what other people think.
Oh, I know.
Yeah. Who knows what mess they got in that head of theirs.
Exactly. And just think of all the junk we have.
I know.
You know, all the crap we have going on. And then we're reading someone else's mind in our presence. And, yeah. Because you're going to definitely, if they're saying something that you're already thinking, they're going to buy into it even more. See? That affirms it. I am not worthy. So there. What else do we have? Super hearing.
Super hearing. Yeah, all these things would be cool, I guess.
They would be cool.
Yeah. But then, of course, life would not be able to progress the way it does now.
Right.
Because we would know the future and you know, all that stuff. I think as nice as it sounds and as neat as it sounds, I think the world is ordered just perfectly.
I do too.
You know? Otherwise, we wouldn't be able to survive, you know?
Exactly.
Think about it. If you could think about if you could read my thoughts, for example, we wouldn't need to talk, first of all.
That's right.
And besides, we wouldn't have that privacy, sense of privacy, individuality. Like, I'm the only one who knows this about myself.
Exactly.
You know.
No, it's
so
true.
So all these superpowers are great in the comics, but...
in real life, except being able to fly.
Yeah,
really
being able
like
to fly.
One.
Well, that's the thing, is that I don't want everybody to be able to fly, but just me.
Okay. So they have to pay the gas. They have to pay $4 of gas, and you fly over the freeways.
Yeah. I know that says something about me, too, you know. Probably need to be a little higher than everybody else, you know. But there you go, you know.
I don't know.
To be able to do things that people can't.
But we all have that.
Yeah.
We have to have some kind of ego in order to survive. We all have to have some kind of self-assurance within ourselves and self-esteem and ego. It just goes, you know, how far are you going to go with it?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, like, you can go too far.
Exactly. You can have, like, narcissistic personality disorder where no one wants to be around you. All those people who are really needy want to be around you, and they want to, you know, you can feed them.
Yeah.
And, you know, whatever. And then that gets really boring, too. But we talked about that before. All right. Here's a good one.
Mm-hmm.
This is a relational psychology test I have for you now.
Okay.
And I'm going to read the following questions, and I want you to imagine the scenes in your mind.
Mm-hmm.
And I want you to tell me the first thing you visualize.
Okay.
Now, don't think about the questions excessively.
Okay, I won't.
This is a relational psychology test. The answers given to the questions have been shown to have a relevance to values and ideas that we hold in our personal lives.
Really? So I'll try and answer them quickly without thinking about
it. Yeah. And I will give you choices. That's the only problem is there's kind of...
Multiple choice type of a thing.
I think... No, I don't have... Ooh, this is cool because I don't have... Okay, good. All right. You get to tell me.
Okay.
All right, you're walking in the woods. Who are you walking with, Sam?
Good question. Oh, so I do need to think about it.
You do.
You need
to think a little bit, and then you can, you know. But it's better sometimes just to say kind of the first thing that pops into your mind.
Yeah, I know. And nothing really popped, but I'm thinking my father, maybe.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that means the person you're walking with is many times the most influential person in your life.
Wow. There you go. There you go. My dad's influenced me quite a bit, yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
That's a good thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
I guess the good things are good.
Well, right, exactly. And then you've learned from the bad things.
Yes.
Right. All right, here you go. You're walking in the woods.
Right.
You see an animal. What kind of animal is it?
A rabbit.
All right. Huh. Oh, that's a good answer.
Is it? It
says the size of the animal is a representation of your perception of the size of the problems you have. Oh. Ooh. See, a lot of people who I give this to, they say, a tiger or a lion, you know?
Yeah.
The woods. Nah, that's more like the jungle. Or a bear,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Bear
that's
in the
true.
Woods.
That's
so you
true.
Have a bunny.
Yeah, I'm just seeing a bunny hopping.
Are
yeah.
you cool or what, dude? You're doing great here. Okay, here we go. What interaction takes place between you and that animal?
I feed it, I guess.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
You're
like
nurturing.
I like animals, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so the severity of the interaction you have with the animal mm-hmm. is representative of how you deal with your problems.
Mm-hmm. So what
you're
does
nurturing.
That mean?
You're
nurturing.
You're feeding.
Problems. Oh.
You're nurturing. How do you deal with your problems? How do you deal? Not you're not nurturing your problems. In other words,
right.
let's say you have something in your life that's coming at you and it's really difficult to solve.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do? You give thought to it. You nurture it. You piecemeal it out. You kind of open yourself up and
right.
you open your hands up and you say, here's this. Let me. You're a giver. Mm. I mean, you do. You open yourself up to be. Yeah, I think you have good yeah. instincts too, but it appears to me that you really are an open person. So you're giving
yeah.
and you're feeding and you're helping.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
So
I'm
instead of.
A family
of,
man.
Yeah.
Yeah, by all means.
Instead of defending and fighting.
Yeah.
As you know, people would answer, "What interaction takes place?" Oh, I put my hands up.
Yeah.
The bear, first
yeah.
of all, and I've got my hands up, and I'm protecting myself. And that's defensiveness.
That's
you're,
true.
You're
it
an open
could have
kind
been a different answer.
It sure
true.
Could have.
Yeah.
All righty. The size of your dream home is representative of the size. Oh wait, I lied. I went to the answer.
Yeah,
oh,
you didn't ask
oh, I'll go
question.
To that later.
Well,
I'm gonna
yeah,
check
so I'll okay. forget it first.
Never mind. As Gilda Radner used to say, "Never mind."
Never mind.
All right. I've got to speed things up here. You enter... Wait. Oh! Okay, we'll start with this then. You walk deeper into the woods.
Mm-hmm.
You enter a clearing, and before your eyes is your dream house. Describe its size.
I thought you'd say dream girl.
Yeah,
but,
dream girl. Dream,
not
dream,
dream
house.
Girl. Dream house. Okay.
No. Well, you
what
could
does
do
the
that
house
too,
look like?
Sam.
You know, I never thought of it. I mean, because
this is the size of your dream.
Oh, the size of the house.
Yeah,
you mean?
You can do a little description
right?
as well. Sure.
You know what? I don't need a big house.
Mm-hmm,
no, I don't
okay.
need a big house. I don't like small house. But what's important is that it has a yard.
Okay. good.
And a place
That's
to
good.
Hang out. Yeah, I
yeah.
like peaceful settings.
Yeah,
I really do.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the good news is you didn't say I want a brick.
Wall.
House.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay. I'm sorry, I break
But I wasn't that specific about the house, but then again, you know.
Okay, the
that.
Size of your dream home is representative of the size of your ambition to resolve your problems.
Mm.
So I don't know about that.
Yeah.
I don't know. It just says kind of,
yeah.
you seem like you have more ambition to solve your
yeah,
problems.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
Hey,
but,
TJ!
But,
we're not talking about size with Sam, are we?
No, well, not about your
Sam.
Size, no.
Ooh, I like
we're talking
it.
The size of the house.
I'm shrinking Sam right now, TJ. Come on. You can come in, too,
yeah.
if you'd like.
Well, he's got things to do, I'm sure.
He's a busy guy.
TJ's coming up next, by the way.
Yes, he is. He's got yeah. a great show today, as usual.
Yeah.
Sam, is your dream house surrounded by a fence?
No.
Okay.
No fence.
Hmm. Well, no fence is indicative of your open personality.
Mm.
People are welcome at all times, and I get that feeling from you. The presence of a fence is more indicative of a closed personality. You prefer people not to drop by unannounced. You're just very, controlling. And that
yeah.
You really kind of roll with it. Okay,
yeah,
cool.
Sometimes.
cool. Well, that's true for all of us,
yeah.
isn't it? Okay, you enter the house and you walk to the dining area. You see the dining room table.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Describe what you see on and around the table.
Oh, flowers, fruit.
Wow.
Yeah. That's about it. I don't really see plates or anything at
okay.
this point.
If your answer didn't include food, people, or flowers, then you're generally unhappy is the answer they have here.
Okay.
So
I did mention flowers.
You sure did right off the bat.
Good.
You said fruit, which is a healthy food.
Yeah.
There you go. And it's sweet, too. So
yeah.
it's, you know, it's... La dulce vida. You enter the house and you exit the house through the back door.
Okay.
Lying in the grass outside your huge backyard, which you need,
yes,
is a cup. What material is the cup made of?
Whatchamacallit, ceramic.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah.
Okay. The durability of the material with which the cup is made is representative of the perceived durability of your relationship with the person from number one. Your dad?
My dad. Okay, so let's retrace that for a second.
So you had durable. You had durable, but you had a strong ceramic.
But ceramic would be fragile, right?
Ceramic is somewhat fragile.
Right.
Ceramic can break, but ceramic does hold a hot liquid. So ceramic is... You didn't say styrofoam or paper.
No.
Plastic.
No.
Metal. You know, one of the old metal cups.
Yes.
Plastic is you know, hard plastic is durable, glass, ceramic. They're just durable.
Yeah.
So it's strong,
yeah,
they say.
I mean, with my father, I mean, there's a lot of love even if we don't talk for a long time.
Oh,
you know?
Yes.
And, yeah, I've always been close to him. I mean, he taught me a lot of things and stuff. And now I have even a closer relationship with my son. So it really is like comforting for me.
Oh, that's so cool.
Know? Yeah. But yeah, I mean, the thing is, I mean, if you really analyze it, I never really got into fights with my parents
or with
my brothers or anything. So, yeah, so it's been a healthy relationship.
Yes, exactly.
My dad always looked after me.
Oh, that, you see, you're so lucky.
Yeah.
And also what we can learn, and I say this a lot of time to dads who have sons, is the stuff that they needed to get through from the relationship with their dad and or their mom sometimes, but with their dad.
Right.
If they still feel hurts or they still feel like they were treated unfairly in certain ways, a really wonderful therapeutic tool is to learn by how you would have wanted to be treated and treat your son or daughter like that. And that giving and that reassurance every day of if the kids, you know, come to you, especially he's a teenager, right? He comes to you when they're on another planet. You know, they come to you with their hormonal emotions and their fears and their, you know, stuff. And but if you respond to them in the way that you would have preferred to be responded to, it's really therapeutic for you, too.
Yeah.
So it's kind of
except I didn't do very well last week with my daughter. But
why?
I
what happened?
I'm not getting into.
Oh, come on!
No, I can't get into.
Okay.
No, this is family stuff. I shouldn't have brought it up. But no,
okay,
but,
I'll drop it.
But no. I mean, it's not you. You know, the thing is, I try not to talk about the family. But
no, it's
but I do have hard times.
Sure.
With the teenage years,
it's very difficult for all of us. I mean, there's a joke because you know we're in our 40s, and what happens is we get into that situation where, you know, we're just kind of, okay, finally finding passions in our life. We've been raising kids and they're teenagers. And they're, whoa. So we're kind of dealing with where am I going in my life? And then we have these little people who are just on another planet with their hormones and their issues. So it's, you know, everything's coming. And then our parents are getting older and we're dealing with them. So we do have a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah.
I want to wrap this up because, ooh, it's almost TJ's turn. Okay. So what do you do with the cup after you find it?
What do I do with the cup? I don't know. That's a good question. I don't know. Probably put it back in the house.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I don't like a mess. As you noticed, I was cleaning up everything here.
Cool.
Yeah, you do clean
things up.
Yeah, I mean, I straighten everything out every day when I come in here and stuff. So, yeah, I have to have neatness, you know. And
that's neat.
So that's what I'm thinking. If the cup's in the grass, I'm going to pick it up, put it away.
Okay, good. So where you put the cup is representative of your attitude toward the person in number one. So your dad, you take that cup, you take that ceramic, that strong, supportive cup, and you're going to put it back into a place that's going to protect it and
where,
keep it clean
where
and
it belongs,
safe and all
that,
where it belongs. Okay, cool. You walk to the edge of the property. Just give me the winky. You want me to get off here?
No, we'll get off in a couple minutes.
Okay. You walk to the edge of the property where you find yourself standing at the edge of a body of water.
Mm.
Ooh.
Love water.
Me too. Mm. What type of body of water is it? Is it a creek, a river, an ocean?
I like creeks a lot.
Do you?
Yes.
The size of the body of water is representative of the size of your...
Oh, no. Don't tell me.
Sexual desire.
Oh, okay. Well, that obviously is
Mississippi River. That is totally wrong,
right? That
it's
is
totally wrong.
Yes,
because I know you.
No,
I know.
You don't.
We were talking about superheroes a little bit earlier, TJ, and we have a choice. I gave him the superhero test. What kind of superhero would you like to be? And he said, "What does that mean?" His first choice was flying, which is a really cool thing to do. Second thing was to have X-ray vision. And he said, "Just because I like to look through women's clothes."
There you go. You see?
There you go. See? Yeah. So his.
So I'm officially a pervert now.
Yeah.
Okay.
A super pervert.
Yeah.
Superhero pervert. Yeah. There you go. Pervert.
Yeah.
All right. Here we go. Now we're almost done. How will you cross the water? How will you cross that water?
Well, it's a creek, so yeah. Yeah, I can walk. I can walk through it, I suppose. All right.
Right?
All right. I mean, I'm trying to be logical here, but may not necessarily
you know,
be the right
the
thing.
Steps, you're not going to like it either. How wet you get?
How
we're
wet
talking
do I get?
Dirty now. This yeah. is PBS Talk Radio.
How wet do I get?
How wet you get? Can I do this in that voice? Yeah. In crossing the water is indicative of the relative importance of your sex life.
Oh, well, you didn't let me answer this.
Oh, okay. No, no.
But
go ahead.
No, I would be totally immersed in the water.
Oh,
so.
Yeah, baby.
So that's good.
Oh, you got it. Rolling around.
There we
slapping
go.
That water around your
now
body.
Now we laid my entire personality in front of the world.
That's right.
Yes.
So there you have it. Now when you think of Sam in the morning, folks, on California Dreamin' right here on BBS Talk Radio with Manu, remember all the answers he gave, and then you can psych him out.
Yes, there you go.
Thank you for being
Michelle,
my guest.
Thanks for having me.
Oh,
it's
this
been
is
a
so
pleasure.
Much fun.
Yes.
Gosh, this has gone so fast already. All right, this is Dr. Michelle with you, and Sam has been on my couch today.
Yes, I'm and, definitely on the couch. Maybe I'll take a little nap.
Oh, now I hear you.
Before I
you
leave.
Work hard enough, honey. Well, this has been a great day. Thank you so much, darling.
Thank you, Michelle.
All right, TJ McCormick is up next. By the way, folks, if you want to log on to my website, and you can do that, I'd love to share with you. It's drmichelletherapy.com, drmichelletherapy.com. And then you can write to me if you like. It's so nice having you on the couch. Have a beautiful day. Have a wonderful week. We'll be back tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. on the couch here with Dr. Michelle. And remember, detox the drama out of your life.